Morning, Council. And our first case for argument today is Corporate Property Associates versus the Wood County Board of Revision and the Wood County Auditor. The appellant is Corporate Property Associates, and I understand Karen Bauernschmidt is here for the appellant. Ready, Council.
Good morning. If it may please the court, my name is Karen Bauernschmidt, attorney for the property owner. The case that's before the board this morning is a very interesting case. You'll note from the facts that it is a large, heavy industrial building, a little over 300,000 square feet. The problem is that the BTA, in its decision, determined that you could use other types of property to value a single-user manufacturing facility. And we believe that based on the reliance on a Dunsweiler appraisal report, that the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals was both unreasonable and unlawful. We tried to stress in our brief a couple of issues that we thought that the BTA went down the wrong path in making its decision. A couple of the facts that they relied on were not in the record. Most importantly, they thought this was a developing area. Walbridge is a rural type community. And because they decided that this was a booming area, they decided that all of the comps should be localized. The problem is there had only been two sales of land in Walbridge itself between the years of 1996 and 2001. So we don't have this booming area. The land around the Walbridge facility itself still was a rural type land that had not been developed. And because of this reliance on the Golden Triangle and these location factors of having to be in the Wood County or surrounding Wood County area, we believe that that decision of the BTA caused them to absolutely find that Mr. Rasek's appraisal, which was the property owner's appraisal, was not reliable. And here's the real problem that the BTA also had. It was not a good idea to rely only on location. The use of the facility is very important. 300,000 square foot facilities are different than smaller multi-tenant warehouse facilities that the county's appraiser, Mr. Dunsweiler, relied on. I would suggest if you look through the brief, and one of the other factors that we believe that this court should look at, I mean, usually you don't see an issue like this, and the reason is that the highest and best use analysis is the paramount foundation of any appraisal report. And when you look at both appraisers' highest and best uses side by side, continuing use as a manufacturing facility. However, once they make that highest and best use analysis, Mr. Rasek, the property owner's appraiser, utilized all data that would correspond with it being used as a large single-tenant manufacturing facility. The county's appraiser did not. And that's where the divergence in the two reports, yet the BTA relied on properties that were not similar in use, size, and only focused on location for the property. And we believe they erred when they did that.
The challenge for you, of course, counsel, is that this seems like a very fact-based argument, isn't it? How do you overcome this court's traditional view that we're not going to delve back into facts that were litigated in front of the BTA?
I would suggest that you're not to be a super BTA. The problem that we have is the BTA did not rely on facts in the record, and that's the problem. In addition, not only do we have a disregard of facts in the record, they ignored errors, major fundamental errors in the county's appraisal report. Both appraisers were MAI appraisers. And they are required, both under their state licensing and also by being an MAI appraiser, to follow USPAP. And also, as you'll note, we cited in the record the appraisal of real estate, which is the textbook for all appraisers. And what happened is, why we stress that highest and best use analysis, is that once you get to that highest and best use and you see that Mr. Dunsweiler's approaches to value are inconsistent with his highest and best use, that becomes an issue. While it may be factual to the board, it is something that violates USPAP, and it violates the precepts of the appraisal of real estate. Relying on an appraisal that is so flawed and violates USPAP, we believe is unlawful and unreasonable. Yes, it's a factual situation, but we're not asking for you to say, you know, weighing the reports, well, you know, he utilized a 2% adjustment and this appraiser used a 5% adjustment. We're not asking for that kind of review. We're actually saying that appraisal report of the county was so flawed, and we set forth all of the errors in that appraisal report. They didn't address one single error or one single flaw of the Dunsweiler appraisal report. They fluffed it over, and we're saying that's unreasonable and lawful. If they're going to rely on an appraisal report that has so many errors, and those errors are brought up in the briefs, they should address those, and they did not. And the problem is, when you look at that highest and best use of Dunsweiler and you look at his approaches to value, the data he utilizes is in no way comparable. Now, he also had a cost approach. He had mathematical errors. He used wrong multipliers. Did the BTA even address those issues? No. The other error.
Those, I take it, that didn't result in any error in their decision, right?
Well, they say that they relied on a sales comparison approach. And Dunsweiler's sales comparison approach was $8,200,000. They didn't find $8,200,000. They found $8,100,000, which is his income approach. But the problem is, if you go into that sales comparison approach, there are five sales. Only two are single-tenant manufacturing facilities. He excluded one of those, and the other one he didn't bother to verify. But those sales of his, which are four and five in his appraisal report, are the sales one and two in our appraisal. And those are the only local sales of large manufacturing facilities. I think that the BTA erred when you have a large facility like this, saying you have to be solely located around the location. You can't go in other parts of the state of Ohio. I think large manufacturing facilities, while they sell statewide, it was appropriate for our appraiser to use those. And I think that dismissing of that use of state, various, you know, sales around the state was inappropriate and unlawful by the BTA. Their whole reliance on that location factor, we believe, was in detriment to the property owner, obviously, but also totally disregarded the actual use. And when you look at all of the case law and you look at USPAP and you look at the appraisal of real estate, we would suggest that the BTA, when there's no sale before them and they have to look at appraisal evidence, the appraisals must meet USPAP. They must meet with the standards of appraisal practice and theory. And when an appraisal is so flawed, and they can't ignore that, they can't pick and choose facts that aren't in the record. And there is not one fact to suggest in this record that this was a booming area, which would suggest only to use local data. Well, local data is good if you have it, but the local data that the BTA relied on are multi-tenant warehouse facilities, smaller facilities. They cannot be utilized to value such a large property. If the court has no further questions, I would like to reserve some time for rebuttal.
Very well. Thank you, counsel. And Mr. Gorey.
Yes, thank you. The two issues that I'd like to address are the highest and best use issue and the location factor. In Pellant's brief, they claim that there's a violation of USPAP, that Bruce Dunsweiler, the county's appraiser, was inconsistent in his
because the sales comparables were inconsistent with its highest and best use, and there's no merit, no sense to that argument at all. Highest and best use is that use which provides the highest present value for the property, as the court said that. And that's a standard appraisal definition. The court cited it in the Youngstown case. Both appraisers, Rasick for the property owner and Bruce Dunsweiler for the county auditor, used the same use, highest and best use, and that's an industrial use. They both said in their appraisal reports, and they both testified, that the highest and best use of the property is an industrial use. An industrial use includes warehousing, distribution, assembly, manufacturing, all sorts of things. And the Wallbridge property that we're talking about now is actually a giant 300,000 square foot open bay warehouse. Now it's used for manufacturing purposes. And it has a heavy concrete floor, and it has heavy ceilings and a heavy roof because it's got cranes. If you look at page four of, and you can't see that from here, but page four of Rasick's appraisal, he's got interior warehouse building number two. Well, that's the 300,000 square foot warehouse manufacturing facility. And Rasick specifically testified that this building is so good that it can be used for a multitude of purposes, any industrial use. Highest and best use, industrial. Both said that, both testified to that. It's in both appraisal reports. Every comparable sale that Dunsweiler used, and in fact every sale that Rasick used, were industrial facilities. So there's no legal issue here. They're hunting for a legal issue, of course, to get away from the Super BTA factual dispute. And they can't make any headway. Highest and best use, there's no legal issue there. The location factor, that was their issue, not ours. And they make a big deal about it. And here's how that came about. On page 13 of my brief, I went through Rasick's eight comparables. And comparable number two is a smaller industrial facility in Toledo. It's an industrial park, and it sold for $17.04 a square foot. And that is exactly the value that Rasick used. He used 17. County's appraiser used $22 a square foot. Rasick takes a look at this comparable number two, and he says, yes, admittedly, this property is far inferior to the Wallbridge plant. This property, comp number two, is located in an industrial park in Toledo. It's on, I think, 20 acres of land, and it was a third or a half of the size of the Wallbridge plant. It's not a heavy steel frame industrial facility. And Rasick said, fine, I understand that the Wallbridge property is far superior in age, condition, construction, quality than the Toledo comparable number two. But, and this is what Rasick always does, he says the Toledo plant is in a better location. Now that's subjective. There's no evidence in the record to prove one way or the other, whether it's in a better location or not. Rasick always does that. We're stuck. You either buy the location adjustment or you don't. Fortunately, the county's appraiser is from Toledo, and he says, no way. No way is this comp number two in a superior location than the Wallbridge plant. Wallbridge is on 50 plus acres. It's 300,000 square feet. It's a heavy steel frame industrial facility. You don't put properties that size in municipal industrial parks. And Dunsweiler specifically testifies that there would be no adjustment factor applied to the $17 Toledo sale that we're talking about downward. The locations are comparable. That's what he said. And since everybody admits that the Toledo comparable is of lesser quality, and everybody admits you have to make a substantial upward adjustment for that, we've got $17 upward and no location adjustment downward. That's how this thing came about. Rasic, and then to justify his location, his opinion about the location, Dunsweiler says, look, where Wallbridge is one of the fastest growing industrial areas in the Toledo metropolitan area. It's in northern Wood County, and it happens to be in what they call the Golden Triangle. I saw that term in the briefs. And it's in the area between three freeways, and it has access to three freeways. It has access to a large rail yard, which is only a mile or so away. The rail yard is crossing, and I forget Penser, but I forget the railroads, but in the brief. And that rail yard then has a line straight up to the port of Toledo. And Dunsweiler says most of the industrial development in the Toledo area is taking place in this triangle near these rail yards, near the intersection of three freeways, and with rail access directly to the port of Toledo. It's a good location for large 50-acre, 300,000 square foot, heavy manufacturing industrial facilities. That's how this came up.
Could you address this concern about the multi-tenant versus single-tenant issue?
Yes. As I indicated, both appraisers agreed that the highest and best use is an industrial use. Highest and best use is use. Doesn't have anything to do with the number of users. All of Dunsweiler's comparables were, in fact, single-user industrial facilities. Now, what they seize upon is the fact that I think one or two of the sales had several buildings involved. Now, each of those buildings was a single user, and that's what his appraisal report says. So now they say, aha, here we've got some comparables that have individual buildings, so consequently have multiple users. Well, that has nothing to do with highest and best use. All the properties were used for industrial facilities. Same highest and best use, same comparables.
So where there were multiple buildings, it wasn't a situation of different companies.
None of the sales comparables had multiple users in a single building. Now, his income approach did in fact rely upon rental income being paid for some industrial facilities that did have multiple users. Dunsweiler was specifically asked on cross-examination, does your market approach or sales comparison approach rely upon a single user or multi-users? And he said single user. His income approach, which he didn't rely upon and which the BTA didn't rely upon, used multiple tenant industrial facilities simply because Dunsweiler testified, I couldn't find any 300,000 square foot industrial facilities comparable to the subject that had a single tenant. So I don't have any rent comparables. So the next best thing I had was some larger facilities, and some were up to,
had tenants that were occupying 500,000 square feet, but it was a larger building.
So he says, for an income approach, not a market approach, an income approach, I used what I had. And USPAP and appraisal principles say, you know, you use what the market gives you because we're trying to determine market value or true value, so use what the market gives you. And really, that's confirmed by Rasic. Rasic said, I couldn't find any single-user rented industrial facilities like the subject, so I didn't even do an income approach. Dunsweiler said, well, at least I'm going to attempt to do one, but I want you all to understand, and he specifically testified, I'm not putting a great deal of weight on this. Neither did the BTA, and rightfully so. The BTA relied upon the market approach, and both appraisers used single-user industrial facilities. And furthermore, what difference would it make? You buy an industrial facility on the open market. You pay so much per square foot because that's what it's worth in the market. What are you going to do with it? Well, you may want to use it for a single use. You may want to use it for multiple tenants. Several of Rasic's market sales comparables were purchased by developers, investment groups, and one of them, they leased the office section out because it had 23% office, 40,000 square feet of office space. So they leased that out, and they're trying to lease out the manufacturing or the warehouse part of the building to somebody else. Well, there's nothing wrong with using that sale. Rasik used it, and I'm not criticizing him. So there's nothing there. You know, I mean, the building sells or it doesn't sell. It doesn't matter who's going to use it. It has nothing to do with the highest and best use, because that doesn't depend upon whether you've got a single user or 1,000 users. You know, it's what that building, you know, what you got.
How is it that these two well-qualified experts came out so differently in this case? It's a bit curious to me.
If you look on page 13 of the brief, I think you'll understand. What Rasik does, and I set forth all of the eight comparables, what he does is he uses comparables that are admittedly far inferior to the subject property. For instance, we've got sales, $6, $8, $12, $12 per square foot. That's what they sold for. Now, Rasik says that the Wallbridge plant is worth at least 17. So we know three of the comps, $6 to $8 a square foot, they're less than half of what even Rasik says the Wallbridge plant is worth, and the BTA picked up on that. They said, look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of his eight comps are about 50% less valuable than what he says the Wallbridge plant is. So the comps really aren't close. They're cheaper, inferior, they're older. All of them were vacant and abandoned. And these are the types of properties that sell from $6 a square foot to $12 a square foot. They're not comparable to a heavy steel frame industrial facility like the Wallbridge plant, which is in good condition, well maintained. So all right. What that means is he's got to adjust upwards. And that's the key. Nobody knows, you know, whether he's right or wrong as he makes these upward adjustments. I mean, how far are you going to go? And that's the problem the BTA had. And Rasik doesn't tell us, because he makes no specific line item or particular adjustments to these sales. All he does is just lumps them together. He says, with respect to the Toledo plant, look, it's a $17 square foot. It's admittedly in worse condition, so that's an upward adjustment, but it's in a superior location, and Dunsweiler says that's not true, so he makes a substantial downward adjustment. How are you going to determine, how is the BTA going to determine whether those adjustments are accurate? They're not quantified. It's just, you either take it on faith or you don't. And looking at Rasik's appraisal, the BTA simply said, we're not going to take it. The issues that the appellant brings out, highest and best use, location, BTA didn't rely upon those. Those were their issues. The BTA addressed them. What the BTA said was, one, we criticize Rasik, BTA, because he didn't make any adjustments. Just upwards, downwards, a little bit, offsets, you know. How are you going to make sense of that? How are you as a review appraiser, which is what the BTA is functioning as, and this court is functioning, how are you going to make sense of that? They also said, we don't think Rasik's comps were comparable to the subject property to begin with. They're $6, $8, $12. He's at $17. We can't determine whether or not his upward adjustments are accurate. He doesn't quantify them. He doesn't tell us why he stops at $17. I mean, those were the issues that the BTA addressed. And I think this court is absolutely right. Given the long history of this court in refusing to accept factual disputes, dueling appraisers, two well-qualified appraisers, there's no way that the BTA can be forced to accept Rasik's appraisal. It's not that good. It's not good at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorey. And Ms. Bauernschmidt, you have a bit more than 6 minutes left.
Thank you very much. In answer to the court's question, how could two appraisers be so far apart? They used absolutely different types of data. And contrary to counsel for the appellee's position, yes, they both said in their briefs that it would be for continued manufacturing use. The difference is Mr. Rasek utilized, all single-tenant manufacturing facilities. Mr. Dunsweiler did not. He, and his testimony is in the record, he testified he used for conversion to multi-tenant use. Now, he doesn't say that in his highest and best use analysis. However, his approaches to value are based on conversion to multi-tenant use. The problem he has is twofold. He didn't include any conversion costs to make it multi-tenant. The data are all multi-tenant, multi-building type sale properties, and he utilized that data in his income approach. So that's how the two appraisers can be so far apart, is the fact they use different data. Mr. Dunsweiler used multi-tenant conversion analysis for his income approach and his sales comparison approach, didn't include the cost for conversion, which is a violation of appraisal practice and theory. Additionally to that, he also testified it would be really difficult to do this. Now, the other situation that Mr. Gorey just raised about the quality of Mr. Rasek's comparables, solely looking at it on a dollar amount. The problem with that is they were all large manufacturing facility. We have a 300,000 square foot plus facility here. He not only used large single tenant facility, he also recognized one thing. Our facility at Walbridge has, at some place, 100 foot heights because of the manufacturing process. Obviously, none of the comps had that. He had to adjust for that. Now, when it gets to the adjustments, and we set forth in our briefs, there are qualitative and quantitative adjustments. The board used the word numeric, which is in terms quantitative, where it's a percentage or it's a dollar amount. The trouble is, those can't be proved any more than a qualitative adjustment. Both depend on the expertise of the appraiser in adjusting the sale comps for the inherent differences with the subject property. None of the comps have, areas of 100 foot, but Mr. Rasek, in fact, adjusted. He used what is word qualitative adjustments, which are acceptable appraisal theory and practice. We set forth in our materials that, and just to use the word numeric or quantitative adjustments, either one is acceptable. It all based on data and the proper qualifications. And the Board of Tax Appeals has accepted Mr. Rasek's qualitative, and I always have to think about that, adjustments on more than one occasion. The location issue that was also raised by the appellee, they talked about the sale, Mr. Rasek's sale number two, as being in an inferior location. It's located in an industrial subdivision located near I-75. Walbridge is in a rural area, and everybody keeps saying this, booming area, including the BTA. And the booming area, the Golden Triangle, there's a whole list of properties in Mr. Dunsweiler's appraisal report. And if you look at page 12 of his appraisal report, you'll see the whole list. When asked about those, he testified only one, the Alpha Tube, was located in Walbridge. And he incorrectly identifies it as being in Toledo. So the facts don't support the fact that Walbridge in and of itself is in a developing area. It's a rural area. The Golden Triangle, it's slightly away from that, and all of the development is in that area, but not in Walbridge. We would ask you to take a look at the violations of USPAP by Mr. Dunsweiler. We've set forth in our brief, and we would ask the board to take a look at it. And it's not an easy, one appraiser says one thing, the other appraiser says another. We really have a situation where the Dunsweiler appraisal report throughout the entire report violates USPAP, it's not in conformance with proper appraisal theory and practice, and as a result, the BTA's decision is unlawful and unreasonable because it relied in part on the Dunsweiler appraisal report, the $8 million, the $8 million. That is a situation where they say that it's a sales comparison approach, but their final conclusion of value does not support their discussion. In addition, the facts that they relied on are not in the record. And as a result, we would ask you to reverse the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and request that they make a decision that is a reflection of Mr. Rasek's appraisal report, which was $5,450,000 as of January 1st, 1999. We thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both for your arguments. The case will be submitted.